Morning, everyone. My name's Wendy, if I haven't met you. And I'm going to be reading the Bible now. And I'm reading from a book in the New Testament, so that's in the right-hand side of your Bibles. And it's the book of Colossians. Colossians was a book written by the Apostle Paul, a letter to the church in Colossae. And it's chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Well, if you've never watched Lord of the Rings before, sorry, this isn't going to make much sense, I'm afraid. But there's all these memes that are going around. Not sure if you've seen them, but basically, why did Sam and Frodo in the first place just take the giant eagles to Mount Mordor? You know, Lord of the Rings, it's a story of an epic quest, this journey of suffering and testing. Frodo and his best friend Sam travel to Mordor, who in the end return home just by piggybacking on these giant eagles. So the question is, why didn't they just go that way in the first place? Really the only answer I've got is, well, it's the journey. It's the journey that counts. The forging of their friendship, Frodo and Sam, the testing of their affection. It's what happens along the way that really matters. Now, it's sort of like the Christian life. You know, as Christians, if you're a Christian, we talk about the final destination. We talk about heaven, eternal life, the final resurrection, the end of all suffering and pain. And that is the ultimate. But in the meantime, there is a journey, a 100th of a nanosecond journey compared to all of eternity, but it's our lifetime journey nonetheless. And it isn't smooth sailing. It isn't just an easy path. It's sometimes really hard. But it's a journey to be on together. You know, Frodo and Sam on their journey, they had each other. Well, we have each other. We have church, our spiritual family, for this journey. Now here at Christ Central, we've been doing this little two-week series. Today's the final week, United Together in a Fractured World. And it's about how we need each other, how we're called to stick by each other. In fact, in a fractured world of tribalism and identity politics, and the intolerance of tolerance and this crazy headlong pursuit within our culture for personal freedom and personal happiness. You do you and I'll do me. But Christians are called to do this lifetime journey together. Now, in this passage, we're going to see words like bear with one another and forgive each other and teach one another. When you think about that one anotherness, is really radical. But let's actually look at what this is saying to us. Let's look at this passage together. And this passage starts by saying, Christian, before anything else, this is about reminding you who you are. Check out verse 12 where it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. I'll just say this. The bad news and the good news is that before God, you and I are not respectable enough, are not worthy enough, are not religious enough, are not moral enough, are not spiritually mature enough to earn God's love. Your heart is too sinful, and God's heart is too perfect to dispense his love like it's a vending machine. You know, put a little bit of good works in, and out pops a little bit of God's approval and love for you. No, God's love doesn't work like that. He sent his son to die in our place. He died the death that we deserve. So God's love is free, and it's immense. When you're a Christian, he chose you simply because of his good pleasure. He chose a wretched sinner like you to wash you clean and make you holy. You are dearly loved. I don't know if you think about that very often, but God, that's God's view of you. You are dearly loved. That's affection. You know, if you have a child in your place, and one morning he or she wakes up and just say, you know, he wakes up and tries to make a new birth certificate for himself. And then he makes the decision that all through that week, right, or any spare time he's got, he's going to be scrubbing the kitchen floor clean. And then the next week he decides, well, every minute I've got, I'm just going to be with Dad and I'm going to imitate everything he does. And, you know, by the end of that time, as parents, you might be going, what is going on here? So you ask your child, like, what's with this strange behavior? And they say, well, I'm doing this so I can earn my place in this family. Well, what would you say in response to that? I think you'd say something like, son, calm down. There's nothing you can do to possibly earn your place. There's nothing you can possibly do to get out of this family. You are secure. You're in this family. We love you. Well, this is what we need to remember. Christian, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved. We're about to get into the commands about community instructions on how to live. These are non-negotiables on what it means to live as Christian with each other. But you have to remember, none of this is to earn your place. None of it is to draw out just a little bit more love for you. He loves you to the max already. He loves to love you. Christ came for you, and it's settled. It's done. Christian, you are the chosen ones. You are holy. You are dearly loved. And from that certain reality comes then this command on how to live. So we're getting to the command now about being in community, this journey of the Christian life to be lived with and alongside others. It says, verse 12, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And I describe this like the Christian change room, the clothing change room of what it now means to live as a follower of Jesus. And I'll ask you, do you like shopping? Do you like trying on clothes? I am not a fan of trying on clothes, and I've said this before, but one thing I do like, type of shopping I do like, is op shopping. In fact, the Swan family is big into op shopping, the random surprise of picking up a bargain. The fashionable guy you see before you is all because of op shopping. Of course, here in Colossians 3, verse 12, this isn't this grab bag of pick your own thing, choose your own fashion statement. No, this is take the beautiful clothing that God gives you. It's like God reaches his arm through that curtain in the change room and says, you need this, and you need this, and you need this. In fact, in this change room, for those who belong to Jesus, there's also a putting off. Taking off certain things, and you can see that in Colossians chapter 3 earlier on. You've got to put off things like anger and malice and greed and slander. We sadly live very comfortable and cozy in all those things. We have to put those ratty, disgusting things away, leave them on the floor, put off and put on the very character of Jesus, who loves us so much. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You know, if you've been a Christian for a while, you might have noticed it's very easy to be godly in that moment of doing your own personal Bible reading. Slightly different, isn't it, when you actually have to spend time with your spouse or your sibling, your kids, the church. But again, this is the journey we're called to live in community, being like Christ with each other. Won't spend too much time on these words, but just to mention, you know, compassion. You know, the Bible, God's talked, is said to be, the Lord is compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. He has tender feelings towards his people. Where to have tender feelings? Kindness, which another part of the Bible talks about, that's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Humility, gentleness, or an older fashioned Bible might have meekness. Gentleness, meekness. It's an old fashioned word, isn't it? But a writer who sort of used a bit of satire said, the meek are the doormats. And he sort of used it as like an acronym, so you've got to think about the letters of doormats. But he said, the meek are the dependent organization of really meek and timid souls, whose motto is, the meek shall inherit the earth if that's okay with everybody else. But gentleness, meekness, it's not weakness. It's actually strength to decisively say, I'm going to put down my rights and choose the concerns and the welfare of others. Patience literally means long-tempered. We don't use that word, do we? We have short-tempered. We never say long-tempered, but it actually literally means long-tempered. You know, a short-tempered person lacks self-control. A long-tempered person can be provoked, won't fly off the handle, doesn't need to retaliate. Do you have a long temper or a short temper? Where to put off and where to put on. Now, this is the clothing that you and I are to put on every day. Just as much as you wouldn't go out any day without your pants on, this is saying this is the daily walk, this is the daily journey of the Christian, to put on the spiritual activity, look to Christ and seek to be like him. Can you see how this character change that God wants to see in us, it's anti-individualistic. It's against those deepest anti-social inclinations we all have. To be like Christ, it pushes us into community. To be like Christ, it takes us into being there with and for others. I've got to say hi to everyone who's watching on the live stream this morning. It's great to have people watching. We now have the technology to allow for that. But we've just got to realize, really, that activity alone is just, it's just watching. You can stay watching from a couch and not be engaged, really, in community at all. This is really about relationship with others. And then we move on to this next part of the instruction, this journey of the Christian life in community. And this bit is about bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And this really does take us into the hard territory of community life. Read from verse 13 with me. It says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And I was thinking about this, and I reckon, you know, about this order that's in this list, how compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience comes first before we get to this bit. And I wonder if it's a bit like nutritional supplements. You know, everyone these days is taking supplements. We're all popping pills so that we sort of can have our bodies healthy and our immune system strong for when, you know, our bodies might get attacked by colds and flus, so that we're healthy for that moment when it comes. Well, I think it's sort of like this. You know, if you and I are seeking to put on compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness, then we're actually preparing ourselves for whenever inevitably it does get hard. And then when we're in those hard situations, we're uncomfortable, we've got some painful work to do, well, we can bear with one another. We can forgive each other. See, we need to be prepared for what inevitably will come. You know, those newish people who will be at startup today. You know, startup, we really put our best foot forward. We want to give everyone a welcome. We want to say how great our church is. Give it a week or two or a month or two. Guaranteed, you will find out we're like any other church. we're possibly even just like the church you've come from, because there'll be people here who you'll have to bear with, because they're hard work and they're frustrating and they're not on the same page as you. So you have to bear with them. And there'll be people, I'm sorry to say, here at Christ Central, long, if you're here long enough, you'll have to forgive them, because they'll hurt you. You'll need to forgive them. And I'll put it like this. Maybe you're in an online community. Maybe just decide you're in an online community that talks about some topic. You know, maybe it's a topic of theology or politics, some social issue. And you're really into it. You're engaged. You're talking. You're just thinking everyone's sort of on the same page. We feel so united together. And you wonder, how come my church can't be more like that? Because we're so united, we're so together. Well, there's a reason for that. And that's because that online community is shallow and fake. Because it's an online community. We're actually called to be in this embodied, present together with each other experience of community. I'll put it like this. If you're not bearing with others and forgiving others, and I'm not saying that church should always be awful and you can't have enjoyable friendships, but if you're not finding some relationships hard, that bearing with them and forgiving them is absolutely necessary to maintain relationship, then it's likely that you're not engaged in the spiritual community of church calls us to. It's a good chance you're just standing on the fringe of things. And you're just happy to take church, you know, in the way that you want to. It should not be. See, in this church, we're called to be in this journey together. We're all undergoing renewal. We're all these works in progress. That's the journey. I need to bear with you. And for sure, you're going to have to bear with me. Now, have you ever thought how annoying and frustrating you must be to others sometimes? It's true. If we get just a little bit of self-awareness going, it's true. We're all like that. You know, and I know an option could be when we sort of face that in others, an option could be, well, I'm out of this community, but that shouldn't be the option. We're called to be in this journey together. In your Bibles, it's interesting the way the writer Paul talks about church. Actually, check out chapter 3, verse 11, just the one verse before the passage we're really looking at today. But have a look at chapter 3, verse 11, where the writer Paul says, "Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." You know, he's talking about Jew and Gentile and this group, the Scythian. And he's saying that church should be these people of basically multicultural, multiracial, multi-wealth level, multi-different fashion and inclination and sense of humor and taste. Interesting that Paul uses the word barbarian. Barbarian. Back then, the word was used to refer to people of a non-Greek speaking background, that part of the Roman Empire. But in terms of bearing with one another, I'll take that word in a more modern direction. For you in church, who might you find to be being the barbarians? I don't know, teenagers? Maybe they're the barbarians. Maybe those who really like upbeat music in church. Those who drink instant coffee, barbarians. Those who vote conservative and obviously don't care about social justice like you do. Those who vote Labor and obviously don't care about the family and moral values like you do. Barbarians. But God calls us to another way. Put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and bear with one another. And verse 13 also says, forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven you. We're on this journey. We're a work in progress. We're sinners who found grace. We're dearly loved by God, but there are times when we sin against each other, when we hurt each other. We speak badly of each other. But the ability to forgive will come from knowing that God in Christ has forgiven the infinite horror of your sin against him. There are so many parts of this passage we could look at. But on this theme of the Christian journey of community traveling together as church, one more part I just want us to focus on. It's a bit about, just drop down the passage to verse 16. It says, verse 16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. See that one another again, in community, journeying together, this Christian life. We're to be a church of compassion and kindness and love. We're to be genuine community and also a teaching community, a word-based community, having the message of Christ dwell amongst us richly. You know, I want us to be reading the Word for ourselves. And I'll put in another plug for our personal Bible reading plan. You can find copies on the info desk. You can grab a copy. But the Word of God amongst us is to be spoken and shared and talked about, used among us to encourage each other and admonish one another. Admonish means even say the hard word when it's necessary. So I want to talk up growth groups. As Matt said today, today's the last final day for getting sign-ups. But our growth groups do a whole bunch of things. You get to be in a small group with others, even do a meal together now. That's what we're doing this year. That's part of the experience. As you get to know each other over meal and talk life, you get to express compassion and humility and gentleness. And you even get to bear with one another when someone talks too much and someone sort of awkwardly breaks into conversation and when they eat with their mouth open and when they spill coffee on your lounge, you get to bear with one another. And as you open up the Word with each other to study and discuss and talk about, you get to encourage and teach and even admonish one another. Growth groups can do that. They can do a lot. Be great to have you in a growth group this year. And notice verse 16 where it says, teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. You know, if you get around different churches enough, you soon realize that there's this sort of this division. There's the Bible church, and then there's the singing church. There's the word-focused church, and then there's the worship-focused church. This division, it's a real shame. It's actually a false division. It should be a false division. It should be all together. You know, a loving, humble community and a Bible word community and a worshipful, praising, singing community. Now, it's going to be good to share in the Lord's Supper together soon and sing together as well. I know COVID has certainly left its mark, hasn't it? You know, lockdown, isolation, social distancing. You know, we've lived through it, and maybe we'll be living through much of it even into the future. But, you know, all of it just sort of works to draw us apart, doesn't it? Who knows what 2021 will bring, but COVID has certainly left its mark. And I read yesterday about a sporting activity that went off during COVID. And it's called Everesting. Everesting. Everesting is where with your bike, you choose a hill, any hill, can be any hill, but on your bike, you continually go up and down that hill without stopping until you reach the distance of Mount Everest, 8,448 meters. It's become this worldwide phenomenon. And the thing about it is it's extreme. It's for people a little bit crazy. It's a solo thing. It's a sort of this for the lone wolf obsessed athlete who wants to test or him or herself as he or she goes up this mountain. COVID certainly made for some weird habits, hasn't it? New habits for all of us. Again, trends where we stay alone, do our own thing, introvert's paradise maybe, where we just focus on our own thing. But the journey of the Christian faith is not solo. Certainly you yourself have to come to trust in Jesus. You yourself have to realize God's great love for you. Jesus' death on the cross for you. You are dearly loved. But life onwards is not to be in isolation. The lone wolf, the independent, self-reliant, make your own way Christian. No, the journey is together. Maybe an Everesting 10-seater bike would work to show the illustration of the way church really is. Living for Christ can sometimes be a hard journey, but it's the journey together in community where God grows us to be more like Jesus, uses each other to help us to grow to be more like Christ. You know, unity, it's a lovely ideal, it's a lovely concept, but we're called to live it out, side by side in gritty community. Compassionate and kind and gentle and humble, bearing with each other, forgiving one another. And as we share life, also sharing the word with each other, as we teach and admonish, we have the gospel amongst us in our hearts and compelling us to live like Christ so that we truly might be a church that is for one another. I'm going to pray now, so please join me as I pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who we are because of Christ, that we are the chosen ones, that you've chosen because you've simply graciously chosen us. We are holy, we are dearly loved. Oh Father, please help us to know this. We need to know this every day. We need to be reminded of this, that our standing with you has nothing to do with anything we do or fail to do. It's all because of your work for us. Help us to know that. And so, Father, flowing out of that, help us by your Spirit to live out the way you call us to live in community, that we might be humble and gentle and compassionate and kind for the sake of each other. And in those hard moments, in those uncomfortable moments, even in those hurting moments, that we might bear with one another, forgive one another, because we know how much you've forgiven us in Christ. So, Father, we thank you so much for our church. We thank you for this spiritual community. Father, help us not to waste the opportunity. Help us to see this community as the one in which we're called to be with, to be in life together. So help us to live that out this year to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.